day to look forward to. Thank you. I invite you to go with me before the Lord in prayer. Lord, one day you will return, and what a glorious day that will be, and we so look forward to that time. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this time to come together for worship and for prayer. Thank you for this day you've given us to live into with you, so that we are ready for that glorious day when you return. Thank you for directing our steps and helping us to trust you, even when your plan doesn't always seem to make sense. Lord, please forgive us for our sins. Please give us the courage to confess our sins before you and a desire to change our ways and to be the best that we can be. Please help us to live in obedience to you and not go our own way and not go the way of the world. Hear our prayers, Lord, for those whom we remember before you, our friends, our neighbors, loved ones who are sick or suffering. Hear our prayers for those who struggle with loneliness or grief. And we pray, Lord, that you surround each one of them. Give them your comfort and your healing presence. Let them know that you are with them so they're not alone. We ask, Lord, that we pray special for those who live their lives in obedience to you. We ask that you strengthen and reassure them and us and help us to stand firm on the faith and the confidence that you are with us and you guide us and you protect us. Thank you, Father, for hearing all of our prayers and for understanding us better than we understand ourselves. Please continue to fill our hearts and your church with peace, your peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we also remember to pray for those who don't know you as their Lord. Please bring them to repentance and salvation so they can begin to put you first. Help us to live before them lives of witness for you, lives of love for you, lives of trust in you, so that they can see from us what it means to be fully devoted followers of yours. Lord, please be with those who suffer from religious persecution and oppressive governments. Please be with those whose nations are at war, especially with the children in war-torn lands. And we pray for our leaders. We pray for leaders throughout the world, that they turn to you for direction and for wisdom. Please bless our nation and our world with your peace. Please, Lord, protect Israel from her many enemies and bless Israel with peace as well. Lord, as we gather before you and as we look ahead to the days in this week that you have given us to live to your glory, please help us to make time to read your word, the Bible, so you can give us a clearer understanding of your will for our lives. Help us to choose to trust you, especially at the difficult and confusing times. Help us to stay close to you in the hard times, as well as the good times. And by your Spirit, please help us to take a chance on you, no matter what anyone else says. For all these things, we give you thanks. For all the blessings you provide, we give you glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us all to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
In this quiet moment, Jesus, speak to me.
as we prepare during the service to give our tithes and our offerings to God, whether it's in person or online, I'd like to take the opportunity to talk about the ministries of the church and all of the wonderful things that are going on. You saw those in the announcements. You can read them in the bulletins. Last night we had Club 56. Well, that was Friday night. Was Club 56 in the youth group. We had about 13 kids gather together for some games and some devotions and a good time together. We heard about the different ministries of the church going on. Last night we had the Blacklight Puppet Show, where the youth from Bethel United Methodist Church in Lower Burrell came and held a puppet show. The group is called Let It Shine, and they indeed let their light for Jesus shine last night. We have the opportunity today to celebrate how our church has been instrumental in letting our light shine over in Zimbabwe. I've had conversation over the last 2 weeks with a previous district superintendent, with a current district superintendent, and with Maxwell Morongo, who was here in October. Our friends over in Zimbabwe who appreciate our love and support for them, and with whom we partner in ministry on so many different levels. I want to give you the update on the borehole that we funded over in Rusingo, over in Zimbabwe, and the gratitude from those people. So let's watch this and see how God is blessing our gifts to them.
This lady is going to the borehole to fetch some water. Look, she's carrying a baby. And she has got a bucket and another small bucket to go and fetch water. You can see these people, they are fetching water in a river whereby they have to dig a hole and then take some water to go and drink at home. Because the area is dry, there's no water. So they come kilometers to fetch some water. You can see that water, they drink it as dirty as it is. You can see the area, this is the river where they are fetching the water. You see other women coming to fetch water.
We fetch water far away. Sometimes the water, we are saying someone lost teeth, and they died. And then when other people are coming from far away,
finally, the borehole, Rusinga has been installed. There's water, I tell you, there's water. Thank you so much, finally. I would like to thank Holy Dev Park, David and crew, Reverend Pat, Nelson Pat, thank you so much. And your church leadership, everybody else, TS Power, thank you so much. These boys are going to save a long, long way to help people. Thank you. Thank you for your support. I'm so excited. Thank you so much. God bless you.
You can hear the joy in her voice. Thank you. Thank you so much. And what D.S. Anasu told me on the phone was that their plans now are to create kind of an irrigation system so that they're able to grow vegetables. They don't have access to fresh produce, and this borehole will help them to be able to provide that in their community. So thank God and thank you for your generosity. At this time, I invite the ushers to receive the morning offering. Lord, we do thank you for these gifts. We thank you for the opportunity to give. And we ask not only that you bless these tithes and offerings, we ask that you bless these gifts and the givers. Bless our hearts to be clean before you. Bless our hands to be reaching out with you. Bless our feet to be moving in obedience to you, and enable all of these gifts to be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is "Open My Eyes That I May See." Please remain standing. I mentioned last week that during these weeks prior to Easter, we'll be taking the opportunity to examine ourselves from God's perspective, to consider taking a chance on God like some of the people did in the Bible. And last week, we looked at the results of Abram's faith, his willingness to take a chance on God. And along the way, Abram was given a new name. He became Abraham. He was given a new land, and he became the father of faith in God. Today, as I told the kids, we'll be looking at Gideon. The angel addressed Gideon as mighty warrior. And I want to read to you now the scripture about the Gideonites and Gideon, and that comes from Judges chapter 6, verses 6 through 16. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hands of the Egyptians. And I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live.' But you have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?" But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel?" The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh," Gideon said, "and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The angel addressed Gideon as mighty warrior, and in the King James Version, Gideon was called mighty man of valor. What we learn from Gideon is that he had to choose, like we have to choose, whom we will worship and serve. The question Gideon had to answer is, would he be submissive and obey God? That's the question we have to answer. When we worship and obey God, we are choosing to be submissive to God and obeying him even as we serve him. Now, at the time of Gideon, the Israelite people had moved into the promised land of Canaan. They were being ruled by judges. This was before Saul became the king over Israel. And over the years, the people of Israel had seen many of God's promises fulfilled. It was time now for Israel as a people to no longer be wandering, but to become an established nation, a nation who were established by God. When they lived in Canaan, Israel began to live like many Christ followers today. They forgot the miraculous acts of God that had established them in the land. They forgot their unique identity as God's people. They became more and more comfortable in the land of Canaan and began to attach themselves to the Canaanite people. They began to adopt the Canaanite morals. They began to adopt the Canaanite gods, the Canaanite religious beliefs, and the Canaanite social life. The people of Canaan were a great influence on the Israelites. And the result was that the Canaanites were leading the Israelites away from God. They were leading the Israelites away from worshiping and obeying God. God's intent was for the Israelite people to be faithful and loyal to God in the midst of these other people, and in doing so, out of their obedience and faithfulness to God, they would be a witness to God, for God, to the Canaanite people around them. God's intent was for the Canaanites to be influenced by the Israelites, not the other way around. That's God's intent for us also, that we worship and obey God and not follow the world's morals, the gods of this world, the many religious beliefs of this world, and the social life of this world. God's intent is for Christians to influence the world only as long as we do not allow the world to influence us. And we can do that. As Christians, we can influence the world only as long as we do not allow the world to influence us. As you read in the book of Judges and even throughout the Old Testament, you have the accounts of the relationship between God and the Israelite people, and it's an ongoing cycle. God reaches out to his people. The people are disobedient to God. There's a foreign oppression by neighboring rulers. The Israelites cry out to God for help and promise God their faithful obedience. And then God delivers them. Over and over and over again, God proves that he is faithful to his love and promise of forgiveness and care for his first chosen people. God reveals over and over again that he is very patient and loving. He does that with us too. The Word of God is so very relevant in our lives. We can so easily put ourselves in the place of the Israelite people in this account because that's where we find ourselves today. It's so easy for us to be influenced by the false gods and the temptations all around us. It's so easy for us to choose to not take a chance on God and instead fall into a mind-numbing forgetfulness of God's promises. God promises to provide for us. God promises to protect us as we obey Him. Instead, we give in to the culture around us and the values that our culture holds instead of standing true to God's values and God's truth found in His Word, the Bible. When we are disobedient to God and we begin to drift away from our vows to trust and to love the only living God who secures our salvation from sin, then we indeed put ourselves in the same position as the Israelites. Just like it was with the Israelites, when we give in to the influences around us, we find ourselves at the mercy of ungodly oppression. We find ourselves at the mercy of ungodly people. We find ourselves influenced by ungodly persons. And sometimes along the way, we begin to question. We begin to question God's existence and God's love. And we say, why did God abandon us? Why doesn't God hear our prayers? We might even ask, why is God allowing these things to happen? And just like with the Israelites, we want God to prove His love for us with signs and wonders instead of us proving our love for God by repenting of our sins and returning to God with humility and with an awareness of our sins and shortcomings. God called Gideon. He called Gideon to take that next step of faith, whether it made sense to him or not. God is calling each of us, too, to take that next step on our journey of faith in God, to fit into God's plan for each one of us, to go where He tells us to go, to say what God tells us to say, to do what God tells us to do, and to be who God calls us to be. Jeremiah promises throughout the Bible, Jesus promises that God's plans for you are for good and not for evil, to give you hope and a future. So take the chance. The odds are in your favor. God says this is a sure thing. Taking a chance on God is the only gamble you cannot lose. And really, taking a chance on God is the only gamble worth taking. The first decision that any one of us have to make is to decide if God really is worth paying attention to. We have to decide if the one true living God of the Bible really is the one true living God. We have to decide that the Bible is true and that it is the Word of God. That's the choice we have to make. That's the chance that God encourages us to take. Not just with an eye towards eternity, but for now, each and every day, as we progress towards eternity with God. In the book of Judges, chapters 6 through 8, that's the account of how God came to Gideon. And God gave Gideon a promise that had far-reaching ramifications. And Gideon had to choose. Would he take a chance on God's plan, on God's promise, on God's purpose? Gideon would have to make his choice based only on God's word. And he did. Gideon chose to believe God's word and by faith to take a chance on God. By faith, Gideon believed that God would be good for his promises. Faith was seen when Gideon chose to obediently respond to God's command. Verse 14 says this, and I quote, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Unquote. When God sends you, God goes with you. You don't go alone. The words "go in the strength you have" means use the courage that God gives you to take that first step and then to keep on taking the next step. Go in the strength you have means to be grateful to God for what you have and to make the best of what you've got. The rest of Judges, chapters 6 through 8, tells us that God responded with love and reassurance when Gideon needed to be convinced that the message of the angel really was from God. True to his word, God was with Gideon and gave him the courage he needed to face his first task of obedience to God. This was before the Midianite battle. Gideon was told by God to tear down and destroy the altar to Baal that his father, Gideon's father, had erected and where the family worshiped. That was a difficult task to carry out. Gideon really would be taking a chance on God and taking a decided stance against his family. The Bible says in verse 27 that Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. Interestingly, even though he had a Baal altar in his home and worshiped at it, Gideon's father took Gideon's side when the townspeople were so angry that that Baal idol was torn down. They wanted Gideon's father to punish him. And Gideon's father basically said that if Baal was angry about his altar being destroyed, then Baal could punish Gideon. It was the Spirit of God who came upon Gideon and acted through Gideon to carry out God's plan and purpose. Judges 7 tells how God worked through Gideon to destroy the Midianites, and I told you that story with the kids. Gideon had summoned 32,000 men from all of the territories where the Israelite people were living. 32,000 men who were willing to go to battle against Midian. And then God told Gideon that was too many men. They would have take the credit themselves for the victory that God would give. And God decided that the victory of the Israelites over the Midianites, that victory was only for God. So God began to whittle them away. First, anyone who trembles with fear can go back home. 22,000 men left. That left 10,000 men to fight this war. Second, God told Gideon, the men who kneel down at the water and drink straight from the water, they were told to leave. That was 9,700. The remaining 300 who pulled the water up with their hands and stayed watchful, they could remain. Only 300 of 32,000 Israelite soldiers remained. God promised that the army of the Midianites would be destroyed with the 300 men of Israel. And then God gave Gideon the military strategy. Judges 7, verse 16 says this, and I quote, "Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. Watch me, he told them, follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." The book of Judges goes on to say that the three groups of men followed God's instructions. They blew their trumpets, they smashed their jars, they held their positions around the camps with their trumpets and their torches, hollering, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." And all the Midianites ran in fear for their lives. They also turned on each other with swords. The Bible says Gideon sent messengers on ahead to alert the Israelites that some of the Midianites had escaped, and two of the Midianite leaders were captured and killed. Israel won the battle because they were obedient to God. Eventually, the Israelites asked Gideon to be their leader because of his military conquests and victory over their enemies, the Midianites. And Gideon refused. He said this, chapter 8, verse 23. Gideon said, "I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you." Unquote. Gideon was not feigning humility here. He did not have any sense of false modesty. Gideon rejected the idea of being king of Israel because he knew that whoever was on that throne would be perceived as a replacement for the Lord's rule. And Gideon knew that God personally was the one true King of Kings, and he was not going to be that replacement. The Bible says that while Gideon was alive, the land enjoyed peace for 40 years. And then the Bible says in Judges 8, 33 to 35, listen to this quote. Listen to this. "No sooner had Gideon died than the Israelites again prostituted themselves to the Baals. They did not remember the Lord their God. They had rescued the Lord their God, who had rescued them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. They also failed to show kindness to the family of Gideon for all the good things he had done for them." Unquote. How quickly they turned back. Gideon took a chance on God. Each one of us must individually answer the questions. Are you willing to take a chance on inviting Jesus into your heart to be your Savior and Lord? Are you willing to take a chance on trusting Jesus? Are you willing to invite Jesus into your heart to be the Lord of your life today and tomorrow and the next day and on into eternity? God loves us before He leads us to have faith in Him. We're all made in God's image, and God loves all of us. But we become children of God only through our faith in Jesus, who is God's only Son. There is no other way to heaven. John 1:12 says, and I quote, "To all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." Unquote. Gideon teaches us, take a chance on God. The lesson we learn from Gideon is that the experiences in our lives are tests, and every trial in the life of a God believer, every trial in the life of a Christ follower, every trial and temptation in the lives of God's people is tailor-made to draw us closer to God. When times get tough, stay close to Jesus. Instead of looking at trials and tests and tough times and seeing them from the perspective that God is punishing you, try to see them from the perspective that those are ways for God to draw you closer to you. Those are evidence of God's love for you and God's wanting you to be with Him. Try to see them as a way for God to demonstrate His power and love in your life. Your faith in Jesus is your own personal assurance that what Jesus has said, He will do. Your faith in Jesus is your own personal assurance that the Almighty God has a plan for this whole world that includes each one of us. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12 says, and I quote, My son, do not despise the Lord's instruction and do not loathe his discipline, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father the son he delights in. Unquote. God loves you too much to let you keep living the way you are. God longs for and waits to be at the center of your life. Our troubles are always for our good and are part of God's plan. Will you take a chance on God? If you are a Christ follower, take that chance and grab a new opportunity every day. As a Christ follower, God might call you to go to a new place in your life or in your faith. You might not be sure you want to go. You might be hesitant and uncertain, but as a Christ follower, you can go and you can be willing to go because you know that God goes with you. You read the Bible because you know that the Word of God is true and sure. As a Christ follower, you don't gamble with your eternal soul. You stand firm in your choice to follow each day because as a Christ follower, you have the eyes of faith and you know that you know that you know. That God's promises are certain and are already being fulfilled. God's intent for the Israelite people was for them to be faithful and loyal to God, and in doing so, to be a witness for God to the Canaanite people around them. That's God's intent for us too. As Christ followers, we are the ones who light the way for others in a dark world. And as we prove God to be holy, we point people to Jesus, who is the only light of the world. We do it with our words, we do it with our actions, we do it with our attitudes, and in our day-to-day life choices on our walk with Jesus. Just like God said to Gideon, God says to each one of us, go in the strength you have. That's God's strength, and God will be with you. Thanks be to God. And that's all I have to say about that. Amen.